What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today in the Old Testament, we're looking at 1 Samuel 15 and 16. And what we're going to see is Saul being a bad king. And what God does in chapter 15 is he rejects Saul as the chosen anointed king of Israel, and he anoints a new king, King David. But he's not quite king yet. So we're going to see this is the beginning and the introduction to David and the end of God's favor on Saul. So chapter 15 talks about how God has sent Saul to go fight the Amalekites. So the Amalekites, they were one of that group of people who when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and Moses was leading the charge, that they were rejecting the Israelites. They were oppressing the Israelites. And God says, I didn't forget what happened. I did not forget what they did. So Saul, go out and fight those guys. So they do that. And when they do that, they take this king, King Agag of the Amalekites, they take him hostage. But Saul and the Israelites don't follow God completely. What they do is they take all the things that they want and then destroy all the things that they don't want. God says, no, I want you to destroy all of their stuff and their king. But instead of doing that, the Israelites take the best for themselves. They take the nice sheep, the nice clothes, the gold, the silver. They take all that for themselves and then just destroy the bad stuff. And Samuel comes along and tells Saul, why did you do that? That was wrong. That was evil. And then Saul lies to Samuel and says, no, we just want to sacrifice the best to God. We took it just so we could give sacrifices. And Samuel says, that is not true. And furthermore, he says in chapter 15, verse 22, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It says, what does God want more? Does he want burnt offerings and sacrifices, or does he want you to obey him? And if it comes between the two, if you're going to disobey God and then give some kind of sacrifice to try to make up for it, or you obeying God from the heart, what do you think God wants? Obviously, God wants you to just obey him from the heart. And then in verse 23, Samuel goes further. He says, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, right? What's worse, rebellion or divination, right? Asking other gods and demons for help, right? What's better? Well, you'd say, well, rebellion's a little bit not as bad, right? Divination seems like a really bad one. Samuel says, no. Rebellion against God, it's like divination. Some sins, right, that are definitely, divination is a really bad sin. He says, rebellion, it's a lot like that sin. You're disobeying God. God hates rebellion, just like he hates divination. He says, in presumption is as the iniquity of idolatry. You presuming on God, hearing God's word and saying, okay, I know that's what you said, but maybe what you mean is something completely different. That's called presumption. He says that presumption is a lot like idolatry. It's like you going to a temple and bowing down to some foreign God. That's what he tells Saul. He says, it's horrible, not good. He says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king. And he says, no, please, I don't want to be rejected. Saul tries to fight back and say, no, please, no. And Samuel says, no, it's over. And Saul tries to reach out and grab Samuel. And when he does, he grabs his robe. And when he grabs his robe, Samuel leaves and it rips. And Samuel says, just like that, God has ripped the kingdom away from you. And he's given it to someone better than you. So that's what we see here. And then what happened about Agag? What about that king? Does he get to go free? Samuel says, no, give me a sword. And he goes and he hacks Agag to pieces. This man of God takes this evil king and he literally cuts him in pieces and he hacks him away. You might say, wow, that's terrible. Why would Samuel ever do that? Well, it's because he was doing what God said, where Saul refused to do what God said, because Saul wanted to get more stuff. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to parade Agag around and show everybody, hey, look, I'm the greatest king ever. Look at me. I was able to capture this King Agag. But God says, no, just I want you to be done with them. So that's chapter 15. That's the sin. Chapter 16 is where the new king is introduced, David. He's brought along, and it says that he is anointed and chosen as king by God, not by Samuel. Really, Samuel would have chosen another one of David's brothers, Jesse's sons. He would have chosen another one of them if it was up to him, because they all looked young and strapping and tall and strong. But God says, no, I don't look on the outside. I look on the inside. And there's a youngest that's here that God is going to choose to be the king. It says David was the youngest of this group of brothers, and he wasn't even invited to the party. But God chose him because of his heart. God chose him because he was going to follow God wholeheartedly for his whole life. And that's what we see here with David. David. So I think also this anointing was probably a secret anointing. I think people didn't really know about this at the time. Certainly Saul didn't know about it, because if he did know about it, he would have tried to kill David. And we see David and Saul working together a little bit, but we're also going to see how they move separately because Saul gets jealous of David. But we'll see that in another day. But let's check out the New Testament today. Let's look at Luke chapter, the end of chapter 14. Luke 14, we started off by talking about how Jesus teaches that you need to humbly come to the kingdom of God. You need to humbly take the invitation to the wedding feast, to the great banquet, so to speak, but do it humbly. What we see here in the end of chapter 14 is how the cost, the sacrifice that it's going to be for you to follow Jesus might be higher than you would expect. So in chapter 14, he says, look, if anybody doesn't hate his own father or mother or his own life, they're not worthy of following me. But you might say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought the Bible says you're not supposed to hate people. You're not supposed to hate your father and mother, right? It does say that. And I don't think Jesus is saying you should turn around and go hate everybody. But what he's saying is, in comparison to how much you want to follow me, everybody else needs to be like totally second place. I'm way up here. They're way down here. And you need to treat me and treat them like that's the case. And that's a hard truth to accept, because a lot of people, they want to be liked by the world and they want to be liked by Jesus, but Jesus says you need to choose one. And then he says, how many of you are going to build a tower or go fight a war and not count the cost, not assess whether or not you have enough to go do that thing, to build that tower or to go fight that army? And what he says is, what you should do, if you realize you can't fight that other king, you can't fight that other army that's bigger than you, you should surrender. You should give up. And that's kind of another picture of what repentance is. Realizing that you need to give up your sin and you need to say, look, I'm going to follow God now. I surrender. And that's what we see here at the end. And then one little section that kind of can get overlooked here, but I think it's a good summary of everything we've just studied, is in verse 34 and 35, it says, salt. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's of no use for the soil, no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It's thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's the ending that Jesus gives when he says something that's a little mysterious. But I think what he's saying here is, if you're going to say you're a disciple, but you don't live like a disciple, and if you haven't counted the cost, what good is that? If you're a follower of Jesus who doesn't follow Jesus, what good is that? That's like salt that isn't salty anymore. It's good for nothing. If we say we follow Jesus, but we don't actually serve Christ with our life, if we don't actually open his word, if we don't actually talk to him in prayer, we're just like salt that's lost all of its taste. We need to be salty. We need to be following Christ with our whole heart, not just pretending to. That's what these Jewish people who were hypocrites did. They pretended to follow God. That's what Saul did in our Old Testament reading today. He pretended to follow God. What God wants is wholehearted obedience, just like we learned from David, just like we see here in Luke chapter 14. That's what God wants. So today, let's serve God with our whole heart. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.